MGM live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Preds take on the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Floyd Reese, we have, I wouldn't say breaking news, but I think they would call it a developing story. Is that how the news people do it?
I'll go with you.
They don't say breaking news, but they say developing story. Okay. And the developing story that we're following here today on News 11 is, so Jokerit, or whatever it's called, the team that Elli Tolvanen is on, they are currently playing in their playoff series. If they lose, they're out. If they win, they keep playing. And apparently it is tied at one. CSKA and Jokerit are tied at one. If CSKA wins, then Elli Tolvanen could probably be on a plane to Nashville tomorrow or the next day or something like that, and they can really start to get the ball rolling. So, again, it's not breaking news, but it is a developing story that we will keep you updated on, that it is Jokerit versus CSKA. Now, I have a very hard time bringing myself to root for CSKA because apparently it's called the Central Sports Club Army of Moscow, and I just can't root for I don't know. Is it bad that I have a hard time rooting for that team?
Is it bad? No. I mean, how could you root for that team? How could you root for either one of them? I've never
Because it helps the Predators if they win.
Never heard of those places.
I know, but Central
We're
Sports Club.
Scores. How did Mozambique do versus Uganda? How was that?
Uganda won. But more importantly, again, I have a hard time rooting for a team that's called Central Sports Club of the Army.
Yeah.
I have it's, you know, a Russian team named that. I just have a hard time rooting for that team. Anywho, that is the case right now where, once again, we are keeping you updated on that developing story. By the way, they could hire me to do news now. I think I'm getting pretty good at that. Predators tonight take on Toronto here at Bridgestone Arena. Floyd, you are going to hate what I'm about to say, but I believe it, and so it's true. And what I'm about to say is this. I think tonight's game might be the last game of the season where it feels like a playoff game, where it feels like there's something big to play for. Because I looked at the schedule, and I looked at all the teams that are in it. The Preds play a bunch of playoff teams the rest of the way. But most of those playoff teams are already comfortably in the playoffs. For Toronto, they get Austin Matthews back, who's their best player, who's an absolute stud. And for the Preds, this is kind of a prove-it game. I mean, we hear all the talk about Pekka for the Vezina, and we hear way less talk about Pekka for the Hart. But if you want to win those things, you want to get people's attention, you want people to start talking about you around this league, it's really important to do good things against Toronto. So I kind of feel like tonight might be the last kind of big game of the season.
I mean, I don't know. Again, it's going to depend on how Peter plays these guys out at the end. You know, because, I mean, if they go in there, they've got to play hard. They've got to go out. Because if they don't, somebody is, in fact, going to get hurt. So, you know, they have to approach it like it's the fifth game of the season and we're all excited to play and, you know, let's go out and play as well as we can. And if he decides to, you know, to play a lot of the
Betetto and Salamaki,
all the good, play some of those guys, won't be a big deal. But I mean, if you're going to play, you know, the first two lines a bunch of minutes, then, you know, they got to approach it like they're going out to win. So I don't know. I think I'm sure Peter talks with them before each one of these games.
I know, but just because the coach says, hey, guys, we're going to play hard tonight, doesn't necessarily mean. I mean, you ain't talking a bunch of dummies. You're talking to grown men who know, hey, their playoff spot is pretty well set. I mean, if they win tonight, they've got 2 weeks' worth of games left, and I'm just not sure. You know, like, Peter's not going to play the full arsenal at Winnipeg on Sunday. Because you're not going to want to give Winnipeg the confidence of beating you with your full group. So Peter's going to play Pekka on Saturday at Minnesota so he can play Saros and a bunch of backups on Sunday. And then the rest of the last 2 weeks are probably just going to be playing out the string, getting everybody fine-tuned, putting Elli Tolvanen in the lineup to see how he plays. Now, I'll care about that. But as far as big games for the team is concerned, I kind of feel like tonight's it.
Well, I mean, I really don't like that approach, only because somebody is for sure going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. If they approach these games like these games don't matter, that we're just running through the, you know, getting through the season, they're going to go out there and somebody's going to clock them and they're going to be hurt and, you know.
But they did at the end of last season and nobody got hurt.
Well, they rotated all those guys in there. They had all those different – I mean, we were playing guys we'd never even heard of.
Yeah,
brought them up, threw them out there.
But they were also still playing a lot of the guys that we all knew of. I mean, when they played that last game of the year at Winnipeg, there were a lot of regular guys in the lineup. Now, they were putting Pontus Aberg and Harry Zolnerchuk and those kind of guys in the lineup, but they were still playing a lot of regular guys. There's not enough bodies on the team. This is not like – the third NFL preseason game where you can just take out everybody and put everybody in. But
I think that's exactly right. And I think that's why you have to approach these the same way you've been approaching them. Because if you don't, then you're going to end up getting somebody hurt. I mean, whatever your approach has been, I mean, you keep it the same. Now you want to keep an extra good guy out, you know, a game or two. I mean, I don't see a problem with that, but I think each time you do that or each time you cut back on what somebody is doing, I mean, they're like you said, they're smart. They know what's going on. And if the coach is cutting back, that means the coach doesn't care if we want to win. And if he doesn't care if we want to win, I don't care if we want to win.
I go out there and skate around, and all of a sudden someone comes up by the side, and now
I'm exactly out. Right. Or I'm looking at the fans, and somebody gets clipped and hits my knee, and now I'm out.
So. I mean, the biggest fear I have the rest of the season is somebody getting hurt in one of these games. I mean, you play next Tuesday here against Minnesota, and all of a sudden Roman Josi gets tangled up, and now Roman Yossi's foot is all messed up, and he's out for the first two rounds of the playoffs. Now you're up a legitimate creek. I mean, there's a part of me, and this is the tough part about this sport, is that there's kind of a part of me that kind of wants to treat it the rest of the season like a fourth NFL preseason game. Like, all right, go ahead and take your pads off and stand on the side with your ball caps on and just kind of watch everybody else play today.
Yeah.
But you can't do that. But again, in terms of like big games this season, I think tonight's it. You know, you could make the argument if the President's Trophy was that big of a deal, you could make the argument next Sunday, so April 1st, so not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after that, April 1st, you could make an argument that that game at Tampa Bay is going to be one of those end-all, be-all type games or a big game. But I don't feel it because I think both Tampa and the Preds, with three games left to play, are going to be on total cruise control at that point.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because, I mean, as many games as we won and as – I mean, I feel like we should be 15 points out. We're 2 points up.
On Tampa or on the West?
Tampa.
Oh, I'm not worried about Tampa.
Well, I mean, if you, President's Cup is important.
Is it, though?
I mean, it is to me.
Why?
Because I want to play at home as often as I can. As often as I can. I don't want to have to start a series in
Tampa
or Pittsburgh or
that's the only place you can start it is Tampa.
Any place else. And so I mean, if you do, I think that's – you're not asking for a problem. I mean, you can find a way to win, sure enough, but we know we can win more games here than we can anyplace else. And we can win more games here than maybe anybody can win at home.
Yeah, but in order for that one little thing to matter that much about your home ice versus Tampa, you – like, Tampa has to get to the Cup Final and you have to get to the Cup Final. And there's so much that can happen – in between those two things coming to fruition. There's so much. I mean, I hear you, but I'm also kind of like, eh. I mean, if you have home ice throughout the West, I think you're in pretty good shape. And I don't – again, I think the President's Trophy is cursed. Now, I'm not going to cry if they win it because it's not going to matter that much to me one way or the other. But I think it's cursed. But maybe if you care that much about the President's Trophy, then that game against Tampa is a big game. So then there gives you two big games left on the schedule the rest of the way.
Two. All right.
I just think the vibe you're going to get from the team, and I could be wrong about this. I've been wrong before, although not very often. But I think the vibe By the way, did you see what Skip Bayless said?
I have never seen anybody talk more about being right and being wrong so many times.
Skip Bayless told some magazine that he's never wrong and that he's the best debater on television.
Oh, there you go.
He's the Michael Jordan of debating.
That's your Skip Jr.
No, I am not Skip Bayless.
Jr.
I am not.
SJ, Skip Jr.
But again, to my point, I kind of feel like tonight is the last big, like, big just I'm excited for it, let's do it, baby, kind of game. I just feel that way. I feel like the rest of the schedule after tonight, and I, again, like I said, I could be wrong. I feel like the rest of the schedule after tonight is kind of a get me to the playoffs, baby. Like, I feel like that's kind of the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think if that's true, I don't know what the difference tonight's going to make.
Well, tonight, you know, the Toronto media's here, so it's a big NHL game because it's Toronto.
So wait a minute now. We're going to play for the media, but we're not going to play for the President's Cup? I mean, where are our values here?
What do you mean?
We're going to play for the Toronto media because that's really important, but we don't want to play for the President's Cup.
Well, it's like my whole theory about Pekka and the MVP. I mean, if Pekka goes out there and shuts out Toronto tonight, Pekka's a legitimate MVP candidate. All the 3 weeks of, oh, Jared, goalies don't win the MVP, and Pekka doesn't have a shot, and all of that goes right away. If he pitches a shutout tonight, that's all everybody's talking about tomorrow around the league, like the sports netters. Like, that's all they're talking about on TSN. And Pecorine with a shutout tonight. He's won his last 12 starts. He's this one, that. I mean, it's, you know how it is. When you blow out the Jets, it's different than when you blow out the Bengals. More people are watching. More people, when you blow somebody out on Sunday night football, it's a bigger deal than when you blow somebody out at noon on a, you know, CBS Dan Fouts game. So I just, again, go back to that tonight feels like a big game. I'm not sure how many of the rest of them are going to feel like big games. But we'll take your calls. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on tonight's game. Is tonight's game kind of the last big regular season game before you have a Golden Corral-style buffet of great playoff games? That's kind of the way I look at it. 615-737-1025. We are live out at Bridgestone Arena where they play tonight, and we will keep you updated on the developing story as Jokerit is in overtime right now against CSKA. If Jokerit loses, Eli Tolvanen's season will be over, and then he can come join the Predators. 615-737-1025. Jared, the GM at ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
You know, they've proven to be one of the top teams in the East. They're fast, they're skilled, they're young, they compete. They present a lot of challenges, so it'll be a good test for us.
Peter Laviolette, he seemed really excited about tonight's game against Toronto.
Yeah, yeah, you sound pumped up.
Peter, what do you think about tonight? Fast team, a young team, and it's a lot. And that kind of degrades my argument that tonight feels like a big game for me, but I feel like after tonight, that's it. After tonight, that's it. Tonight is the kind of the last big game of the season, and the rest is just kind of get me to the playoffs, baby, right?
We're in the playoffs.
I know, but like get me to the actual games of the playoffs.
I'm ready to get to the games now.
But I feel like tonight's a big game. Auston Matthews, Toronto, a fast team, you know, a team you don't see very often, could be – like Toronto's one of those teams, and we talked about this yesterday. Like how many cities can actually talk about their teams openly as far as the Stanley Cup is concerned? And I think there's two for sure, Nashville and Tampa. And I would argue that like Pittsburgh can because Pittsburgh, the regular season, is literally just a get-me-to-the-playoffs baby for them. Mm-hmm. And Washington only because they've never been to it, although Washington really has no shot to get to the Cup Final, in my opinion, this year. But Toronto is one of those teams that's like, well, let's get in and see how we do. And then if they win that first series, which they could, and then they get Boston in the second series, the winner of that gets Tampa, and then all of a sudden you're game two and it's 1-1 with Tampa going back to Toronto, then you can start to think Stanley Cup. Like, it could happen for Toronto. It's just not very likely. But I just kind of feel like tonight's a big, big game, and then the rest of them are kind of do whatever you want to do the rest of the way. Get yourselves ready. Knock on wood. Pray to Sister Jean that nobody gets hurt. And Get me to the playoffs, baby. To the calls we go. 615-737-1025. Danny is up first today on the Preds. Thank you for calling and thank you for waiting. What's up, Danny?
Hey, Jared. I got to disagree with you. I think tonight's obviously a big game, but I think they got to keep the pedal down for the rest of the season. This momentum is so hard to get back, and I think they're doing so great. They just got to keep the pedal down and keep plowing. I'll hang up and listen to your comments out there. Thanks.
Thank you for the call. Okay, what about that line of thought? What about if you're Peter and you just say, okay, instead of this whole we've made the playoffs, we're going to kind of rotate guys in and out. What if Peter just says every game you're going for it? Every single game. You do not let up. You fight tooth and nail. I don't care if you've got everything wrapped up. You go, 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 so that when you get into the playoffs, you're not kind of taking it down to ramp it up, but you stay ramping it up. I'm worried somebody could get hurt with you doing that, but, I mean, it's at least a theory.
Well, somebody could get hurt doing that. The other side of that is what happened to Chicago last year.
Well, they really
did. Which, yep, when they went down the tubes and could not get it back, as we've talked about several times. So I don't know. You know, which is worse? Which is scarier? I don't know the answer to that.
Was it really, though, in hindsight, just thinking back to the Chicago series last year, was it really that Chicago couldn't ramp it back up, or was it that they were beaten by Pecorine?
We've said all for a year now that they weren't able to ramp it back up, so I don't know.
But that was a narrative that was brought up at the time that we never really cared about because we weren't too concerned with them. We were looking at this, but, I mean, they clearly outplayed the Predators in game one of that series. Pekka just stole that game. Then the Predators beat the doors off of them in game two, and it was an overtime game in game three that was kind of, to me, that was where the iceberg, you know, where they hit the iceberg was game three. When Kevin Fiala scored in overtime. I think Philip Forsberg scored twice in the third period to tie it at two, and then Fiala scored in overtime, and at that point it was 3-0, and they were dead to rights, and it was over. But was it that Chicago couldn't ramp it back up, or was it that Pecorine was just better than them, and the Predators as a whole better than them?
I mean, I'm not changing the story now.
I'm just
because
saying.
We're here. They could not ramp it back up again.
Okay, so if you're coaching them,
yes.
What are you saying? Go.
If you're going for it or you Chicago. I mean, it's your choice. Whatever you think is best. I don't know what's best.
Well, they have this talk in the NFL all the time. Guys, when there's nothing to play for that last week, some teams rest their starters. Like the Steelers didn't play anybody.
1 week.
And the Patriots played Brady against the Jets for 3.5 quarters or 4 quarters, even though if Brady gets hurt, your season's over.
One week. But, I mean, we're talking about a couple of weeks, yeah.
And so, not one game, but more like
several games.
You're talking, what, there's 10 games left? So it's a legitimate question. So. Grant is up next here on Jared and the GM at 615-737-1025. What's up, Grant?
All right, Jared. I have got your answer for you, sir.
Okay.
One word. Conditioning. We have a team right now that for the most part is firing on all cylinders. The last thing that we want to do is break our stride. I think it's very important that they play every game for the remainder of the season and the postseason as if it's their last. I know it's not. I know that we are, you know, looking forward to making a deep run in the playoffs, hopefully. But regardless, we have got to keep the foot on the pedal like the last caller said. And we've got to keep bringing the heat. If we slack up at all, you know, that's just not looking good for us. We've got to stay conditioned. And the more that we play long, we play hard, the longer we continue to do that, the easier it'll be down the stretch to continue to do that.
There is the risk
of getting injured, but that's the game we play. These guys are professional athletes, and that's what they train for.
Thanks, Grant. But isn't there a little bit of the idea just mentally, even maybe subconsciously, where when you've got like a 12-game lead on everybody in your own conference and they're saying, go, 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 go in these kind of meaningless games, I mean, is it really – it's hard to lock in 100% when you know you've gotten everything taken care of. I mean, the coach can say it. It doesn't mean you're going to do it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I could understand that. Subconsciously, you know that this game is meaningless. Why am I out here? I'm tired. I'm hurting. What am I doing? Yeah, I think there's probably some truth to that. But, I mean, you can't allow him to buy into that if you're going on his theory. I mean, you know, you have to make him understand that, hey, in spite of that, we need to go ahead and win. Or you say, to heck with it. But who do you, okay, you say to heck with it. Who do you take out? Who do you leave in? Because whoever you leave in knows they're a second-class citizen from that point on.
Right. So, like, if you take out Yossi and Subban, how does that make Ryan Ellis feel?
Exactly. Ryan goes, okay, I know where I sit.
Or you if know. You take out, like, the other thing, too, I think I was talking to Ian. I think it was you yesterday. And I was talking to, and I was like, I don't think that that first group, the Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, I don't think they want to come out. I haven't talked to them. I haven't talked to them about it. I don't think they want to come out. I mean, you're Forsberg. You missed a handful of games with an injury earlier this year. You missed another handful of games because of a bogus suspension in the middle of the year. Do you really want to miss any more games? Or if you're one of these guys and you're trying to go for 30 goals, you really want to miss another game?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure some of these guys want to miss games.
Well, I don't know what kind of contractually, what kind of incentive programs they're on, if any. And if, in fact, they are, then I can assure you these guys want to play.
Yeah, I'm Ryan Hartman. I'm a free agent at the end of the year. I'm Ryan Hartman. I want to play.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that. Again, like, and maybe it's from a fan perspective more than it is anything else. But, like, I feel – to me, that tonight's a big game against Toronto, and then the other games after that, I think are just kind of the icing on
but you're,
the cake kind of
you're
games.
Pushing this Toronto game for selfish reasons, not for team reasons.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you want Pekka to get noticed, and you want
I think Toronto's really good.
Yeah, you want Toronto to press to really pay attention to us and all that, but it's not necessarily because we want another team win.
But see, I think Toronto is really good. Like, I think the Toronto Maple Leafs are an incredible team. Now, I think they're one notch below Tampa and Pittsburgh in terms of teams that I worry about in the East. But they're right there with Boston and maybe Washington, although I don't really worry about Washington in the East. I think they're there with Boston. And then there's Tampa, and Pittsburgh gets in on, like, a sponsorship exemption. You know, like in golf, when they've got a sponsor's exemption for someone to keep playing. Like, Pittsburgh's got that. Like, Pittsburgh's got the street cred to be able for us to worry about them, even though they're not playing all that well.
Right.
Now, Vegas, meanwhile, on the other side of it, has no street cred with me, and I'm not concerned about them whatsoever. Tristan is up next here on Jared and the GM. We're live out of Bridgestone Arena. What's up, Tristan?
Hey, Jared. Hey, GM. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, so, Jared, I actually agree with you. This is actually, I believe, the last really big game in Bridgestone. I'm going to be at Bridgestone next week against the Sharks, and my attitude is, hey, if they get a great game against the Sharks, it's an icing on the cake type of game. But if they lose it, it's no problem. If they can hold their own against Toronto tonight and have that playoff atmosphere, it's going to be great. So the rest of the season, they don't need to coast at all. But as far as, like, playoff atmosphere in Bridgestone, it ain't happening again until the playoffs. This is the last real big game in Bridgestone until playoff season.
I think it'll happen. I appreciate your call. I think it'll happen every game they're here because that's just what the fans do. Like, they're still going to stand up and cheer during the timeout in the third period. They're still going to do the you suck chants. I don't think there's going to be any difference between the fans next Thursday night against San Jose as tonight against Toronto. But that's just my opinion. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, but I don't think it's going to feel any different in the arena tonight than it will. Now, it will when you get to the playoffs because that's different, but I'm talking about for the rest of the regular season games. I mean, look, press tickets are so hot in this town right now, people are just dying to go. So even though next Tuesday night's game against Minnesota doesn't do a whole lot for me, there's a lot of people that want to go and want to cheer and want to be loud because they don't get to go to games all the time.
Well, I think too. I mean, the if they go and don't see what they're expecting from the Preds, then I think that's where people start falling off.
No.
They're saying, "Hey, you know, you can here. You want to go? You can give the tickets to the guy that works for you or something." You know.
Oh yeah, there's gonna be some of that. Where, like, if you are a season ticket holder and you've been to every game so far, you might say, hey, I let Joey go tonight,
yeah,
not
I,
me,
I,
because
I
it's. So there's that, I guess, for whatever it may be. But I just, again, I mean, I look at tonight's game, and I think this is a big game because of who the opponent is, how good the opponent is, and all of that. And then I wonder, after this game, what is it like for the rest of the season? And at some point, are the Preds going to kind of, once they hold it back in or kind of take a little chill pill? But I would think at some point they're probably going to want to, just because the playoffs are so long and so grueling and so on and so forth. We'll take more of your calls. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And I'm also trying to figure out, I'm trying to get an update on this Jokerit game. I have no idea how to follow Russian hockey, the KHL. I have no idea how to follow these games. But we'll try to figure out that because, again, if Ellie Tolvanen's team Jokerit, if they lose, then he could be on a plane tomorrow or the next day or whenever day to Nashville to join the Pred. 615-737-1025. GM, I have a Titans question for you that we will get to next. It's, I think, pretty important. It's Jared the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Obviously, it's going to say a little bit where we're at, for sure. But other than that, we got to mostly focus on ourselves, to be making sure we're ready. And if we end up losing 4-3, but we play great versus Minnesota, it's maybe not as big of a deal as it would have been if we were in a hunt for the playoffs. So I'd say it's a big stretch. It's a big week coming up for us. I think, as I said earlier, to not let anything that we work really hard for get away from us. This is a big week, but yeah, it would have been even bigger if we were in a spot where we could end up on the wrong side of the playoff picture.
That was Mattias Ekholm last night on Smashville Live. That was really confusing what he just said right there. Because he's like, you know, you put yourself in a spot where, yeah, if we lose to Minnesota, it's not as bad as if, you know, we weren't where we were, but we need to focus on us and not let it get. And I'm like, so is it a big deal or is it not a big deal if you lose to Minnesota coming up or not? I didn't seem to really get an understanding from what he was saying.
Yeah, I think what he was saying is that, I mean, the key thing I got out of that whole deal was not lose anything we already have. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing he said. And how do you do that? I don't know.
Well, you win the President's Trophy, and then you're in first place, and you didn't lose any of the mice. That's what he's talking about.
Unless you get two guys hurt, you know, then you're kicking yourself in the butt. So, I honestly don't know the correct. And the truth is, there's no correct answer, you know. If you do it and it works, it's correct. Whether you sit everybody and never play a snap until, you know, you get to the playoffs, or you play them all the way through. As long as it works, then that was the right move.
Okay, so through one overtime in the KHL Russian playoffs, Jokerit and CSKA Moscow are tied at 1-1. That, again, is a developing story. If Jokerit loses to CSKA Moscow, then the Jokerit season is over, and the Predators can then sign Ellie Tolvanen to his entry-level contract and get him here to play some hockey. So, again, we will keep you up to date on that. I've also got a Titans question for you we'll get to in a second, but let's just go back to your phones because why not. Harry is up next here on Jared and the GM. We're live out of Bridgestone Arena. What's up, Harry?
Hey, Jared and the GM, how you doing today?
Good, go ahead.
Good.
All right. I think Coach Laviolette is going to play players and rest players. I mean, he's been doing it for the past couple of games, and I think he knows what he's doing. So as far as players getting, you know, afraid of, hey, he's going to keep me in there and rest somebody else, I don't think that's going to happen. And, as far as fans giving away tickets, I don't think anyone's going to give away tickets. And I don't mean to be mean, but this ain't the Titans.
Well, so, I mean, but same time, thank you for your call, Harry. I mean, if the Titans had wrapped up the AFC South at the very end of November like the Patriots do, which, by the way, the Titans have never done, even the Titans' best years, they had to wait until the very, very end of the season, or at least like the last home games, in order to wrap things up. But like if they wrapped it up at the end of November and they had the Jets coming to town, you know, I mean, how many people would say, oh, you know, I got Christmas plans tonight and it's got a different one with this and that. And again, it's not so much about taking guys out of the lineup as much as it is about just the overall interest of the team.
You know what? I mean, I don't know how you do that.
Like the subconscious interest of, you know, like playing like it's life or death versus playing like it's just another game to play out the string to get to the end of the season so you can finally play like it's life or death and what you've been waiting for all year to play for. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. The Nashville Predators have been waiting all year for this because they've wanted to get back to the playoffs after the way that they lost in the Cup Final last year.
Right. But I don't know how you approach the business. I mean, I know those things happen, but I don't know how you approach it that way and not have, you know, not get somebody hurt.
Yeah,
not have something bad happen.
But if you're playing like it's life or death, I have no idea how you approach it and how you approach it and play like it's life or death and not get somebody hurt because they're acting crazy out there.
There you go. That's just what I said a second ago. I mean, it's if you do it and it works, you're right. If you do it and it doesn't work, it was wrong. If you do exactly the same thing.
The Honky Tonk Hat Trick is brought to you by Bud Light. Back tonight, join Nick Kale from 5 to 6:30 at Rippey's prior to the game tonight against Toronto. While you're there, register for a pair of tickets to the game and passes to the Bud Light Zone. You may win a VIP hockey experience. Be sure to stop by Tootsie's, Rippey's, and Honky Tonk Central before Predators weekday home games for specials on Bud Light. Dean is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Dean.
How you guys doing today?
Go ahead, Dean.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. Please go.
I just want to make one comment. It's all about the coaching and preparing for the playoffs. It's an opportunity to rest because they want the fresh legs when they get to the playoffs. But also, anybody could get hurt at any time. What do you do in that case if you have a chance now these next few games to put some different people in those positions to try it? Short runs, you want to keep them sharp on their normal sets, but give them an opportunity. So when it comes to playoffs, if something happens, the players aren't thinking about what happened because they've already practiced and know what they have to do. You guys
go
ahead. I'll listen.
Yep. Thanks, Dean. What would you do if you were coaching an NFL team that's wrapped up the playoffs?
Well, that's kind of what they did last year, I think, what the caller was talking about. Now, they had a bunch of new players, new guys that they'd brought up that we didn't know much about and they didn't know much about, and they had to, you know, get some kind of handle on them. And I think that probably affected them, but that's...
You act like there were mass roster changes, though, at the end of the season. They just put in, like, Aberg and Zolnarchuk. It wasn't like they put in 8 new guys.
They changed a bunch of stuff around. Changed lines around, put guys in different spots. I mean, I can remember us talking, because I can remember you were furious because you all, how are we going to beat Chicago when we're doing all this?
True, because they were putting Aberg and Zolnarchuk in. But, again, it was 2 guys. It wasn't like they were taking the whole team apart. I mean, and that's the problem here. It goes back to your point. If you call up all those guys from Milwaukee and you put 4 guys in the lineup, so the rest of the way you say, okay, I'm going to send out Boteto and I'm going to send out Irwin and I'm going to send out Salamaki and I'm going to send out all my extra guys, well, you're only going to be able to take out like 4 guys. So if you take out Josi, Subban, and Forsberg, what is that telling Johansson and Ryan Ellis? What's that telling Arvidsson and Mattias Ekholm? Like, you're telling them that they're not as important as P.K. Subban. And then does that send the wrong message?
I mean, if you do it that way, that's exactly what you're telling them. Yes.
So then do you not take anybody out?
Well, if you don't take anybody out, then you're playing. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's your other choice, and I'm fine with that too.
God, I just pulled up the second to last game of the season last year against Dallas. Brad Hunt, who never played, like literally never got in the game. Brad Hunt played that night. 17 minutes of ice time for Brad Hunt. Meanwhile, 17 minutes of ice time for Brad Hunt. Oh, goodness. Brad Hunt had 17 minutes of ice time that night. Let's see who else is in there who normally did not play last season. P.A. Parenteau had 15 minutes of ice time last night. Boy, did he suck last year. Oof. Let's see who else was in there. Harry Zolnarchuk was in there. So they put those 3 guys in, and I'm trying to figure out who they took out, but that would take me too much time. It looks like Mike Fisher didn't play that night. So they gave Mike Fisher that night off, and they played P.A. Parenteau instead. There's probably going to be some of that this year, but it's going to be somebody new every game the rest of the way. That's the...
Well, plus the fact that they've been doing a little bit of that anyway.
I know. They've been doing that for a month now. So now you're...
I mean, 1 guy is no big deal.
Doing 2 months. I guess in this case, it would probably be 3 or 4 guys every night. So maybe you take out a whole line at a time. Although, if Tolvanen comes over here, I kind of want to see Tolvanen play on each line with the different guys so that he can kind of get a feel for playing with them quickly. So in case somebody goes down, Tolvanen can just go right into that spot. Like, if Fiala gets hurt in the playoffs again like he did last year, Tolvanen's a perfect guy to put into that spot because he's a goal scorer. And that's what Fiala is. So I kind of want to see him play with that line and see him play with the first line, because if Arvidsson gets hurt, then you put Tolvanen in that spot. I don't know.
I don't know if you'll have that luxury.
Well, if he gets 2 weeks of playing time, how would you not have that luxury? If they lose today and then he gets...
Well, he's not going to be here for a while. We heard Willie. You know, Willie doesn't expect him at least for another week.
Oh, no. I expect him, if they lose today in overtime, I expect him on a plane tomorrow or the next day.
Well, I'm talking about playing. He's got to get here. He's got to get a contract negotiated or whatever they do.
Two practices,
he's
got to
have a couple practices. Willie said next Wednesday would be the first day. So, I mean, you've already missed. There's three games gone.
Two practices and let him go. I mean, if that's not going to be the case, then why would you get him over here and try to get him into the playoffs? Two games and let him go, or two practices and let him go. Is it Berta? Berta is up next here on the show. What's up, Berta?
Hello. I'm sort of new to the hockey thing, so if this is a dumb question, forgive me. I don't understand why, since we haven't clinched the best record or hometown advantage, since we play so much better, it seems, home, why this isn't as important as any game.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and I appreciate your call. I mean, because ultimately, even though home ice is important, it's like in the NFL, what's more important, home field advantage or making the playoffs? Making the playoffs is the most important thing. And in hockey, it's kind of the same way. Plus, again, like, the Predators have all but won the West. You know, I think if they win tonight and maybe win one of the games this weekend, they're probably for sure going to win the West outright. And so, if you were to just win the West but not win the President's Trophy, Tampa has to run their table and you have to run your table, and then you have one game at home or one game on the road more than you would at home. It's just not... like, it's just not that big of a deal in hockey, because it's just not that likely for it to happen. Okay, I'm going to get to my Titans question next. 615-737-1025. I got a big Titans question for you, GM, and we'll do that next. It's Jared and the GM, live from Bridgestone Arena, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Basically, last night he had dinner with the Los Angeles Rams. It's a get-to-know-you session. I think Ndamukong Suh, the last time he was a free agent, he didn't go on any visits. He did not tour any NFL cities or organizations. Mm-hmm. This time... he is taking his time to make a decision. He's made a ton of money. Money is not going to be the most important factor. He wants to go to a place where he feels comfortable, where he likes the coaches, where he feels like he'll fit in.
Adam Schefter on ESPN talking about Ndamukong Suh. Floyd, we've been talking about Ndamukong Suh for a week now. What is taking him so long? Some of these free agent deals are like done in 20 minutes. Now... it's like Ndamukong Suh is going to take all these visits, and he's going here, and he's going there, and he's canceling this one, and he's moving that one, and he's... what's taking so long?
Well, he's taken three visits, and it's been, what, a week?
Something like that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't think that. He's go someplace, you spend a day, a night, maybe another day, and then, you know, go someplace and think about it. I think he finished the Rams, and didn't go to the Raiders and decided he was going to go back to Portland and think about it. Now, according to everybody that I've talked to, he hasn't talked money or anything else in any of these visits. So, you know, they've probably got to sit down and get in touch with the team that he's excited about and see what they can do money-wise and whether or not that'll be acceptable. I'm just guessing. I don't really know.
So it's not about money with him, is what you're saying?
I don't – I mean, money's always a factor in any – you know, free agency issue. But I'm thinking this time, the way he is approaching it, that things like where he's going to be, where he's living, who he's playing for, all those kinds of things are going to be much more important than they were. The last time he didn't take any trips. Last time he just sat at home. The agent did everything. He just, whoever pays me the most money, that's where I'm going.
So along that same line of, according to what you're hearing about the Suh trips, like, what kind of discussions are they having, and how does he feel, and what does he want, and what is he talking about if he's not talking about money?
Who the coaches are, where he's going to be living, who he's going to be playing with, what the future looks like. I mean, all of those kinds of things. I'm hoping, if I were him, I mean, this decision in my mind would be based on, you know, can we make it to the Super Bowl? Can we win a bunch of games? Can I have fun doing it? Is it going to be a great place for my family to live? All the things that he didn't recognize at all last time. So, I mean, but I'm just strictly speculating. I don't know. I don't know what else it would be.
I wonder, well, because there was a part of me that thought Sue was taking all these trips because he wasn't getting the money that he wanted from wherever he wants it to be. I don't know what Sue wants. I mean, I don't know if the Titans are legitimately in play or if it's the Rams or if it's – I have no idea about any of this. And I wonder how long the Titans can be on the Ndamukong Suh recruiting trail for and how long it's got to be until they move on and go sign somebody else on that defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to guess all of these teams that are after Sue will be willing to wait for him. And I'm going to guess Sue won't take a long time. Now, it's not going to – is it going to happen by in the morning? I don't know about that. But, I mean, he's supposedly going back to Portland to sit down and talk with his family and you know, get in contact with a club and see if they can work something out he can live with and go from there.
How do the Titans feel about the kind of shot that they have?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know.
Well, then who are the people you're talking to that say that he hasn't talked any money?
I'm not talking to the Titans guy. These aren't Titans people. Believe it or not, I know a lot of people in the NFL.
Well, again, if you just heard Floyd Reese, according to the people he's talked to, Ndamukong Suh has not talked any money or anything along those lines on these visits he's been taking. So you're breaking news right there, Floyd.
Oh, I'm sure it's out there.
We appreciate it. Let's go to your phones. Kevin is up next on the Titans. Thank you for calling. What's up, Kevin?
Hello?
Go ahead. Kevin, you're on the air. Go ahead. Oh, man.
Kevin fell off?
No, I think he's trying to talk, but I think
Dude, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the cap space. I noticed that we were, top six or seventh in the league. We had some room. I'm wondering if you guys thought it was a good idea to kind of focus more on wide receivers as opposed to Ndamukong Suh and that fiasco that he brings along. Wondering if you guys like the idea of possibly following like the Detroit Lions scheme of getting some Patriots guys in there to change things up. I don't know what your thoughts are.
So you think they need to get Patriot guys? I think they got a lot of Patriot guys. I mean, yeah. They just signed Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler.
The hard part about the receiver, about, you know, looking at a specific position.
They're all mediocre.
Is they may not be anybody out there worth, you know, messing with. And I think especially in a receiver, you know, the receivers are probably the first group to go. That is, if there were five guys out there that had some quality, I mean, they were gone almost immediately because everybody realized there just weren't many. I think anybody that is still, you know, like right now, there are positions that are cheap. Safeties are cheap right now. And I think that, you know, you can, if you're in the market for a safety, you can take your time and, you know, instead of you having to fret over one guy, you can take your time and there'll still be three guys out there. So it just depends on the position, and you know, the money generally follows the number of players in a position. Those the short players or positions with very few players, you're going to pay a bunch of money for.
Plus, who do you think is the best wide receiver left for them to go focus on? To me, Eric Decker might be the best wide receiver left on the market right now.
There are some guys that are out there that are not proven commodities that you may want to take shots at, but there's nobody that you're, you know, going to stand on the table over.
Okay, coming up next. So, again, the whole campaign is Pecorine for the Vezina Trophy. I think he's already locked that up. I believe Pecorine is the most valuable player in the NHL. But what do his teammates say about Pekka in the MVP award? PK Subban has something very interesting to say. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.